And now it's time to go to the full phones. The full phone line's always open for your financial questions and comments. Our phone number, 866-NPR-FOOL. I want to welcome in Diana Yoakam, our personal finance expert here at The Motley Fool. Diana, welcome.
Thank you, David.
Are you ready to go to the line?
I am.
Let's go to Miami, Florida. Scott's on the line. Scott, welcome to The Motley Fool Radio Show.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. What's your question, sir?
My question is, I live in Miami, and I've lived in my house for about 5 years now, and I've enjoyed watching it double and now just about tripled in value.
I bet you have.
So I'm sitting on a lot of equity, and I'm wondering if I should do anything about that, in that I think the real estate has gone up disproportionate to its historical norms, and I don't know if it's a bubble, but I certainly think it's going to slow down. And I'm wondering if I should tap out that equity and put it into other investments, such as like a general stock index.
And let me ask you this, Scott, do you have investments outside the house? Would this be a new savings for you, a new asset to purchase, or do you already
have an IRA for myself and for my wife, and we have a taxable account where we invest in stocks and bonds. And
great. And let me ask you about the house. Is this a house you plan on living in for a while?
Or? Yes.
Okay. Because, you know, Charlie Whelan on last week's show talked about how for a lot of us, and I'm in this camp too, yeah, sure, we've seen the equity in our houses go up, and that's exciting. But unless you are planning on moving, most of us can just kind of sit there, keep paying off the mortgage, keep adding to our overall equity. The actual price of our houses may go up, may go down. It's very hard to predict that. But for the most part, it's the investment you get to live in, too. So I wouldn't necessarily be in a hurry to begin changing my tune just because the housing market's, you know, gone up a lot in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right. I was thinking in terms of sort of asset allocation. If I had a portfolio of stocks, bonds, and REITs, let's say, and the REITs, you know, got out of control and it went up a lot, I would have sold some of it and put it back into its proportion.
Mm-hmm.
So my house being up so much, it's hard to sell, like a stock or a bond or REIT. So I'm just wondering if, as for, in terms of asset allocation, if I'm a little bit out of whack now by having all this equity in the home when I could be putting it into what historically outperforms, which would be like the stock market.
Right, yeah, it's very hard to input your home into your portfolio tracker. And honey, the home's up today. And a lot of people have been able to say that over the years. But how do you play the house? How do you play this when you're living in a property that has increased in value so much? Well, the plaque does not say home sweet credit card. So the reason that I would discourage someone from taking out a home equity loan and investing that money is because what you're doing is you're taking money out of a secured investment and you're putting it elsewhere. Let's say everything tanks and you need to repay that loan. Well, right now you have borrowed against a secure asset, meaning if you cannot repay that loan, there's something, you know, there's bricks and mortar that the bank can come and take from you, and that's your home.
I see.
So there is a downside to borrowing against all that equity that you've built up, especially when we're talking about the stock market goes up and down over time, as does the real estate market. So if I were you, I'd probably look for other ways to increase and to max out all of the other investment options you can with the cash you have on hand.
Okay.
If you haven't refinanced lately, and rates are really good now, especially if you plan on staying in that home for a while, then maybe that's a good way to make sure that you're getting the most out of that asset that you can.
Okay.
Are you at present with the IRA? Is there any company that's helping you, contributing to that? Or do you have any organization that's matching?
No, I'm self-employed, and I have a lot of employees. I'm thinking of, that's a whole other question, I guess, but I'm looking into if it pays for me to do something in that regard, where I could put more away.
Right. Well, one of the things you might, you know, is let's say you're putting extra money towards the mortgage right now. Maybe you don't do that. Maybe you free up that cash so that you can invest it elsewhere. But as far as borrowing against the house, I don't know. That's the place you live, and that's the place you want to keep for a while. I tend to caution against doing so.
Yeah, I think one can construct a plausible numerical argument that it's at least worth a serious look. And if you are thinking about that seriously, Scott, I could see you sitting down with a financial planner and looking that over. I think what you're discovering here is maybe a fundamental conservatism here at The Motley Fool. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with, hey, if I'm going to change my tune, if I'm going to change my asset allocation, I have to see compelling reasons to do so. And darn it, the reward has to outweigh the risk. And I think what you're hearing from us is, we don't see that compelling reason to do it.
And it's nice having a smaller mortgage payment. Obviously, my mortgage would, if I got a new mortgage cashed out and then put in the stock market, I'll have a higher minimum monthly to pay.
Yeah, and especially
so if
since
my business
you're,
should fluctuate, I would still have to make that payment, whereas now my extra money goes into investing. If I have a hard year, I just wouldn't invest that year.
It probably doesn't make sense to take out a home equity loan. You can keep your mortgage payments low. So, you know, when the business is good or when the business is bad, it doesn't matter. You've got one fixed low payment there.
It's worth remembering that often assets that increase in value, unless there's some bad reason for that happening that's not sustainable, it can continue to happen over time. I think Miami real estate is a pretty good bet over the next 25 years, personally myself. So by sitting tight, by standing pat, I think that you'll continue to participate. Often the stocks I add to are my winners, things that have already gone up. So I'm not necessarily looking to bail out of my house just because it's done well in the last 5 years in Miami. Let me ask you in closing, Scott, Miami real estate, what's the craziest thing that you've seen as of late?
Well, waterfront is especially growing exponentially. There's just, you know, South Florida, everyone wants to have be near the water, and there's boating, and so that particular sector is growing phenomenal. But I think it's also because we have a lot of people from other countries coming here, being a little bit more international than some other areas, and that's why it keeps surprising everyone that it does keep on growing.
Foreign capital, you know, the U.S. is a safe haven, I think, and I think there's no question that's playing into Miami's favor, Miami being one of the city's best positioned for that. Give me a price, though, Scott. If I want something really nice on South Beach, what am I having to pay these days?
Well, if you want to be on the water, you're going to look at over $2 million if you want a typical 3-4 bedroom house.
Okay, let's talk about something less nice.
How about a one-bedroom South Beach?
Landlocked.
You know, a one-bedroom house is $200,000 to $300,000 now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I had before I moved about 5 or 6 years ago, I had a little 1,200-square-foot house in Coconut Grove, which is outside of Miami. It was a two-bedroom, one-bath. I bought it for, I sold it about 5-6 years ago for $212,000, and now I see it's for sale, and they're asking $595,000.
This is a great
reason. I
bought
my house for $320,000, and now a neighbor, which has a little bit less square footage, is selling it for $850,000.
Wow.
And these aren't beautiful new houses. They're sort of old, but in good school districts with a good amount of land, and just your typical 3-4-bedroom, you know, houses with good schools and a little bit of elbow room, and they're going like crazy.
Well, I think it's worth remembering that we don't usually see appreciation like that in 5 years. I don't think it means that everything's going to crash at all, but I do think one should be expecting, if you could just keep it stable there for 5 years, you'd be pretty happy.
Sure.
And let me know when you want to do a house swap for a vacation. I've got some nice property in Virginia here. All right, Scott, thank you very much for calling. Good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we are going to Los Angeles. Alan is on the line. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Pretty good. What's going on?
It seems like there's a kind of seasonal buying and selling pattern. Mm-hmm. It's kind of soft. I mean, on the one hand, I wanted to know if there's, like, hard things that, like, brokers and people do. Like, I have a friend, he said in January he was selling a lot of stuff because he wanted to be really liquid to take advantage of opportunities, and the beginning of the year is a good time to do that, or he seemed to imply. And then there are things like quarterly, when the quarterly reports come in, it seems like there's a lot of activity around those times. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know, and I wanted to know if there was, like, a typical thing to do to, you know, to mitigate risk or take advantage of whatever.
That's a fine question, Alan. It's funny because when we look backward, we can see all sorts of things that have already happened, and we can call that data, and we can always find patterns in the data if we want to. Mm-hmm. The real question is there causation there or just correlation? Are things just kind of happening, and that's the way they happen, or could we expect some fundamental cause to make those things happen again in the same way? And I'm probably more in the camp that says it's more correlation, not causation. Let me point to one well-documented market trend. Now, there may be causation behind this. It is interesting to me. And that is that if you take 6 months out of the year and look at over history at those 6 months, and it's April through September, The stock market has not actually gained that much historically during those 6 months. If you add up all of the points that the Dow Jones Industrial has risen over time, it's just a small fraction right there. Whereas the other six months started off with October, November, right through March. That's where most of the market gains have happened in history. Now, does that mean all of a sudden you and I should just sell as soon as we hit the bad period and buy just before we sort of hit the fall and the winter? Is it because brokers all go on vacation during the summer? they're all all manner of possible. Right, we're all outside not thinking about our stock portfolios in July. I mean, those all may be true. The real question is, would you and I use that as a strategy or an approach to managing our own savings? And that's where I probably jump off the bus and say no. You'll generally do best if you just buy and hold over time and not try to time based on a given pattern. So I just gave you a mega pattern. That's one that speaks to the entire market. You can look at individual patterns. Let's take a stock. How about Pixar? Do you know what that company does?
Yeah, animation.
Absolutely. So each year, we all know it. We see, every year or two, a new Pixar movie comes out. They always succeed. Everybody knows they'll succeed. And the question is, at what point would you want to buy Pixar stock? Do you buy the day it opens and gets great reviews? Do you buy 3 months before that? Is there a pattern there?
You buy once once you know that one of the characters is going to be in a Happy Meal.
That's the Happy Meal approach. I mean, the truth is you've done best. I think you've done best and spent the least time at it by just buying and holding Pixar over time and letting that good company do its thing, not getting caught up about whether you should buy 2 weeks before the movie debuts or not. So we can always look back and find patterns, but anytime we hear someone tell us about a pattern, we should be asking, is there a why? Is there a there that will repeat itself? And in most cases, that is just not the case. And if it were, how easy would investing be? I mean, we would all know ahead of time that we should buy on this day and sell on this day. Problem is, if everybody's thinking that, it becomes smart to do the exact opposite. And that's where people get confounded and where I don't even try to guess or play that.
It's like trying to bet on the odd or the even number Star Trek movie. You never know.
Very well put. That's a perfect analogy to close. Alan, thank you for a very good question and a fun call.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, sir.
Good luck, sir. And that wraps up the phones for this week. The full phone lines are always open for your financial questions and comments. Our phone number, 866-NPR-FOOL.